Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It was a very good year.
It's been a very good year so far. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, a look at the best in music released to date in 2009. And later, Grammy Award-winning banjo player Alison Brown and her band play live in our studio. But to begin, on this last day of July, Soundcheck steps back a moment to look at some of the best music released so far this year. We asked three critics, if 2009 ended tonight at midnight, which new releases would rank as the year's best? In a moment, we'll hear from the worlds of classical and jazz, but we'll start with Nate Chenin. We asked him to cover, well, pretty much everything else. Nate writes about music for the New York Times and Jazz Times and joins us here in the studio. Hi, Nate.
Hi, John.
So, I guess Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So, our scenario is that 2009, the remainder, the last 5 months are being canceled because of budget cutbacks. So, what kind of year is the shortened 2009?
I think actually a pretty vibrant year so far. You know, the budget cutbacks maybe play some kind of a role. There is a certain DIY aesthetic to some of the artists on this list. But there's also, I think, a bit of a defiant quality to some of these albums. You know, maybe times are tough, but, you know, we're going to be tougher.
So, I mean, we've seen this kind of phenomenon in the past when times are tough and the music gets really kind of dance, you know, heavy. You know, it's like, yeah, the economy is in the toilet, but we're going to party hardy, that
exactly,
sort of thing.
Yeah.
So are you hearing?
There's some of that. There's some of that. I mean, certainly you get that on an album like Rick Ross's Deeper Than Rap, which is, you know, just an exercise in sumptuousness and sort of exorbitance.
Well, I guess that's what rap is all about, isn't it?
Not necessarily, not always. And, you know, we've heard a lot of kind of stark, mechanical, robotic, inhumane stuff coming from hip-hop lately. And in Rick Ross, you have this kind of, you know, rolling in the dough. You know, he's singing, he's rapping and singing at some points about yachts and about, you know, just all of the money that he's tossing around. You know, it's what better thing to focus on at a time of
probation? Okay, so it's a little bit of musical escapism
then, exactly,
from Rick Ross.
All I got was diabetes and a damn hug. People talking down, calling me a damn scrub. Young, all you want to do is roam free. On your own feet, gotta cook your own beef. I'm too cool for lame dudes.
Rick Ross, Usual Suspects from Deeper Than Rap. That's on Nate Chenin's half-year list of the best music of 2009. So far, you can see Nate's full list and all of the different lists on the Soundcheck page of our website, WNYC.org. You were careful to alphabetize your list so that it didn't appear that, you know, the first one was the number one record of
right,
the year.
Right, right. Don't make me actually rank them at this point.
But Maxwell, a big return, big story for the first half of 2009. Tell us what's happening here.
This is his first record, I believe, in 8 years. And, you know, Maxwell just kind of vanished. You know, he had such prominence, and then this whole neo soul moment happened that, you know, he was very much a part of, even kind of a pioneer in.
Right.
And weirdly, he just wasn't around for, you know, all of this stuff that's been happening.
So as the wave crested, he was nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, there was apparently, you know, there were some personal reasons, and then also apparently he just wanted to kind of, you know, step back from the scene and live life a little bit and go through, you know, various emotional journeys. But, you know, again, this is a record that feels right for our time. You know, it's very sort of soulful and reassuring. It sounds terrific, you know, just the instruments, the way that it's produced. And, you know, and he sounds great.
Black Summer's Night is the name of the record by Maxwell. Some neo-soul courtesy of Maxwell back after a hiatus of 7 or 8 years and on Nate Chenin's list of the best music of 2009 so far. Also on your list and on apparently everyone else's list who listens to indie rock, Dirty Projectors. I mean, talk about critical darlings. And surprising because this is not easily accessible music.
Well, you know, critics have a reputation for not necessarily going for the accessible thing. But I think in this case, they really do hit a lot of the sweet spots, you know, that critics have. It's musically adventurous. It's, you know, wildly imaginative. There's a real band dynamic at work. And there's also kind of a resident genius in David Longstreth, who's the guitarist and the composer and one of the singers. It's a fascinating record. And just, you know, I've listened to it so many times, and almost every time I get something a little different from it. Just really, really striking, and I think their best record and certainly one of the best we've heard this year.
The band is Dirty Projectors from Brooklyn. Dirty Projectors and Cannibal Resource from the album Vita Orca, and that's on Nate Chenin's list as well. Once again, Nate's full list and all the lists of the best of the year so far are on the Soundcheck page of our website. My list is there, and our other two critics as well. And people are leaving their favorite recordings of the year. Brian in New York says, definitely Rebirth by Lil Wayne. That album is auto-tune-tastic. not so much auto-tune in some of the records so far that we've been hearing, although, you know, with someone like Maxwell, where it's so finely produced, you would expect there's some subtle use of it there. What about Brad Paisley? I mean, here's another kind of genre altogether, but also on your list.
Are you asking me if Brad Paisley uses auto-tune?
Well, again, I'm gonna suggest that all big records these days probably have some hint of
there's
it.
There's probably some nipping and tucking in there.
Yeah.
But this Paisley record is really very, very solid. And in some ways, I think it really affirms how much of a kind of American bard he's become. There are, you know, sort of classic country themes on some of these songs. But there's also, you know, he goes for some broader things. The title track, I believe, you know, he riffs on globalism, basically. And there's a track that was inspired by the presidential election, which he performed at the White House recently.
Mm-hmm. So when you say country, first of all, I mean, are we talking classic country or are we talking the modern country, which is almost indistinguishable from modern pop?
You know, he spans a bit of both. I feel like, you know, he is kind of a pop figure, but, you know, he's definitely drawing on really classic country tropes as well. You know, one song in which he's singing about child is his little boy going to be, and if he's anything like me, well, we're in for a load of trouble.
Brad Paisley's album is called American Saturday Night.
It's like we're all living in a big old cup. Just fire up the blender, mix it all up. It's a French kiss, Italian ice, margaritas in the moonlight. Just another American Saturday. My great, great, great granddad.
That's Brad Paisley in the title track from American Saturday Night, his 2009 release, which is, again, on Nate Chenin's list of the best of the year so far. Nate writes about music for the New York Times and Jazz Times, and his full list is on the Soundcheck page, WNYC.org. The only person on your list who currently is occupying a slot on the top 10 is Drake, who sort of came out of nowhere and has this really raunchy song that somehow they've cleaned up enough to put on the radio.
Well, you know, he came out of Degrassi, the Next Generation. He came out of like a kids' TV show.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's really striking about this track, which is currently number 2 on the Hot 100, you know, this album that I've put on the list here was a mixtape that was released at the beginning of the year for free on the internet, you know. So, and it's since gone through many different, you know, phases of legality. That's interesting, first of all. But also, I feel like Drake, he's kind of a figure from, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about Drake and Rick Ross on this list. The common denominator there is Kanye West, who appears on the Rick Ross record and has vociferously supported it and has also been a kind of mentor to Drake, appears on that record, produces some stuff. And there's an interesting sort of bridge there. But Drake is on the sort of more indie hipster side of the hip-hop spectrum than Rick Ross is. So he's got, you know, guests like Peter Bjorn and John and Leike Lee on his record.
So he likes the Scandinavian.
There's a lot of different kind of stuff going on in there.
Here's a little bit. Here's what we can play on the radio from Drake's hit, Best I Ever Had.
We could do it real big, bigger than you ever done it. You be up on everything, other hoes ain't never on it. I want this forever, I swear I could spend whatever on it. Cause she hold me down every time I hit up. When I get right, I promise that we gon' live it up. She made me beg for it till she give it up. And I say the same thing every single time. I say, you to me go fast, you to me go fast, you to me go fast, you to me go fast. You the best I ever had, best I ever had, best I ever had, best I ever had. I say, you to me.
All right, so that is Drake, who currently has the number 2 single in the country with Best I Ever Had. And so obviously lots of people sort of voting with their wallets and with their ears for Drake. But we have a number of Soundcheck listeners dropping comments on the Soundcheck page, telling us what they think the best records of the year so far have been. And a couple of people have mentioned St. Vincent, who is on your list, Nate, as well.
Right, yeah. That is just a wonderful record. There's so much melody and so much song on that album, but it's also, there's a lot of vision as well. And I think, you know, when we talk about the DIY thing, this is a record that kind of, you know, comes hatched from her brain. She did so much production and you know, it has this kind of cloistered feeling to it, and yet it's also very lush. And so I think this is a great example of, you know, what an extremely savvy and imaginative artist can do with our current technology and with, you know, with a vision.
She records under the name St. Vincent. The album's called Actor. Annie Clark, better known as St. Vincent, and her album called Actor, one of the best of 2009, according to John in Park Slope, and Doug in Brooklyn, and Nate Chenin from the New York Times here in our studio. It's on his list of the best music so far of 2009. And a woman from a very different part of the world also making a comeback this year is Umu Sangare, the singer from Mali. Really tremendous record. And for people who are world music fans, there's a lot to parse here in terms of what she's drawing from. Can this cross over, do you think, Nate?
Oh, yeah, I definitely can.
Hold on just a second. Don't have the mic on. All right.
I think it can definitely cross over. I mean, she's, first of all, just got a spectacular voice. I don't think you need to be able to understand what she's singing. But when you do actually listen and try to figure out what she's singing, it's a very uplifting and also very sort of morally pointed record. She's singing about women's rights and you know, independence. And musically, it's just a brilliant, brilliant record.
The album from Umu Sangare is called Seiya, and it's once again from Nate Chenin's list of the best so far from 2009. Nate, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Up next, more of the best of 2009 so far. We look at the worlds of jazz and classical music. And then later on, banjo player Alison Brown found a way to use that old MBA degree of hers. She co-founded Compass Records, a rare success story in a very troubled music industry. Alison Brown joins us to play live later on Soundcheck. Welcome back to Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. If your iPod playlist is sounding a little stale lately, don't turn that dial. Having just looked at the best albums of the year so far in pop, we now turn our focus to jazz and classical music. And joining us is jazz critic Will Lehman. He writes for PopMatters.com and is a contributor to NPR and a teacher and musician living in the Washington, D.C. area. Will, welcome back.
Thanks, John. It's always great to be here.
We just started with Alan Toussaint and the song "The Bright Mississippi," a guy who's been a fixture in the New Orleans scene for many, many years, not really known as a jazz pianist per se. What makes this album such a hit with you?
Well, you know, he really isn't a jazz pianist. He plays in the style that really precedes jazz, sort of early stride piano, and he plays in the style that arguably, you know, comes after jazz, R&B, where he had was a producer of so many great hits. And this is the first time he's made a jazz record with jazz musicians, great improvisers surrounding him, all instrumental, and using the jazz repertoire. And I think it's great because it's almost like a guy who really understands the tradition, but also can be a kind of outsider looking in. And so this record is fun to listen to, but it's not, you know, watered down or smoothed out in any way. The solos are short, and there's a fresh take on every one of those tunes. So we were just listening to Bright Mississippi by Thelonious Monk, mm-hmm. and yet it's got a second line groove to it. And it's just as genuine and as fun a jazz record as I can imagine.
And Will Lehman's full list, once again, on the Soundcheck page of our website, WNYC.org, along with your fellow Soundcheck listeners who are also leaving some of their favorites. And actually, Doug in Brooklyn recommends John Hassell's album, Last Night the Moon Came Dropping Its Clothes in the Street, which is not jazz, but, you know, here's a guy who plays the trumpet and has some tangential relationship to jazz. Have you heard, Will, Pedro Giraudot's orchestra, the album El Viaje? We have a couple of
No, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, we have a couple of people who are suggesting that. And in terms of, you know, kind of bigger ensembles, how much of that is on your list? I mean, is the big band making a return?
I think that it is. It's not always in the classic 1920 piece form that that we recognize from the big band era, but it absolutely is making a return in the form of, you know, terrific compositions, more intricate arrangements. I have a couple of bands on my list that I would put in that category. One is an album by Alex Klein, who's a drummer, and he is the twin brother, actually, of guitarist Nels Klein, that folks might know from the band Wilco. And he's got a fantastic large band with cello, violin, rhythm section, and intricate compositions. It's an album on Cryptogrammophone called Continuation. And while I wouldn't exactly call it big band music, it's very carefully composed music with a lot of written parts. So it's in that tradition.
Let's deal with Alex Klein first. I mean, it's a big band without being a quote unquote big band. I mean, it's a large ensemble. There's lots of percussion, as you might expect from a drummer and leader. And this is a little bit from his album Continuation. Alex Klein, drummer, band leader, composer. Continuation is the name of his record, and as Will Lehman told us, he is Nels Klein's twin brother. Nels Klein, the guitarist, also released a new... In fact, Will, the two of them released their albums simultaneously on the same label, which was kind of an interesting thing. I interrupted you. You were talking about a couple of sort of bigger bands, Alex Klein leading this somewhat unusually configured ensemble. Who's the other one?
Well, there are two others I'll mention, but the one I want to mention first, the instrument we just heard playing that solo melodic line is being was the cello, being played by Peggy Lee, who is a new music, classically trained player from Vancouver. And she's part of an incredibly rich scene in Vancouver. I was just at the Vancouver International Jazz Festival a few weeks ago, and I heard her octet. They have a new album called New Code. This is a band with three horns, two electric guitars, cello, and a full rhythm section, and it is really fantastic music. It's jazz. There's improvising, trumpet solos, urgent rhythms. There's a rock feeling, and yet there's a classical feeling as well. There's just nothing like it, and I think Peggy Lee is somebody to watch.
And it's not the old singer. It's the younger cellist, and here is the Peggy Lee Band and the record called New Code. Peggy Lee Band. The album's called New Code. She's a cellist from Vancouver, and we're talking with Will Lehman, who writes for PopMatters.com about some of the best jazz so far this year. All right, so two of the three bigger bands. Who's the third one, Will?
The third one is the James Carney Group. James Carney is a piano player who was originally from New York State, and then he got started out on the West Coast and moved to Brooklyn 4 or 5 years ago. He put out a spectacular record, I think 2 years ago, called Greenwood. And just out now on Songlines is the follow-up to Greenwood called Ways and Means. A lot of the music was composed for some cinema projects, but in addition to this careful composition, there are also a few songs on the record that are collectively improvised by the whole large group. It's a 7 or 8-piece group. Great players, urgent music, and again, a sort of, you know, relatively pretty to listen to while at the same time being right on the edge.
James Carney, the album's called Ways and Means, and Will Lehman's full list is on the Soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org. Will, thanks very much for checking in with us today.
Always a pleasure, John.
James Carney and his septet, Ways and Means is the album. This is called Legal Action. And now we finally turn our attention to the best in classical music so far in the first half or so of 2009. Joining us on the line now is Anastasia Tsulkas, the North American section editor of Gramophone magazine. And Anastasia, choral music seems to top your list so far this year.
Well, you know, it's funny, John. I'm listening to you talk with Nate and Will, and I was like, oh, right, that one and that one. Oh, that's a great album, too. And definitely when I saw your list online as well, I was like, oh, how could I have forgotten this and that? But choral
so it's
music,
been a good year, you're saying.
It's been a pretty good year so far, even truncated and shortened due to the economy, indeed. Yeah, it's one of those years that things seem to come in waves. New music has been an incredibly strong year for new music releases and choral music, and it's just one of those things that's in the water or the air or something this year.
Well, and new music and choral music come together in the recording of David Lang's Little Match Girl. This is on my list, which is on the Soundcheck page as well. He won a Pulitzer Prize for this, so
he did.
You know, a great piece. What do you like about it?
I think it's really beautifully done. What David Lang did was take the Little Match Girl story, the Hans Christian Andersen tale, and sort of put it into a setting quite like a Bach Passion. And it's not at all, well, I think it's one of those things that's better defined by what it isn't. It isn't mawkish. It isn't sentimental. It doesn't pound you over the head with emotion or judgment. It's just this incredibly poignant thing. And I can't imagine listening to it and not being absolutely just hugely moved by it.
David Lang won the Pulitzer last year for this piece called Little Match Girl. From New York composer David Lang and his Pulitzer Prize-winning piece Little Match Girl, just an excerpt that's on Anastasia Tsulkas' list of the best classical music so far this year. From new music, Anastasia, we go to early music, Stile Antico, a British early music chorus. They've sort of come out of nowhere, as some of our pop stars earlier did.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that suddenly, you know, it was this tiny rumble underground. Have you heard these guys? Have you heard them? And all of a sudden, they've just blown up to be an incredibly dynamic force in the choral scene. And so this new album that they did that was put out a couple months ago, Song of Songs, brings together music of Palestrina and Nicola Gambert and Lassus and Victoria. But, it's this incredible incredibly precise but full-bodied singing that shouldn't be missed.
And it is a British group, Stile Antico, and this is from their album Song of Songs. That is some music from Tomás Luis de Victoria, which is sung by Stile Antico, the British early music chorus from their album Song of Songs. And Anastasia Tsulkas, the North American section editor of Gramophone magazine. Her full list of the best classics so far from 2009 is on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Anastasia, in closing, your list includes CDs and one DVD, the Scott Hicks film, called Glass, A Portrait of Philip in 12 Parts. Enough music in that for you?
Enough music, and just what I thought was a really fascinating look at his life in full. You know, everything from hanging out to his kids and touching upon his troubles in his, at that time, his marriage, and seeing him sort of shove off various Broadway, Hollywood people on the phone. It's sort of a portrait of a real composer, full-blooded, very human, and I thought it was really touching in a lot of ways.
The film is called Glass, A Portrait of Philip in 12 Parts, and it has been released on DVD, and it's on Anastasia's list. Thanks for being with us on Soundcheck again today, Anastasia.
My pleasure, John.
Still to come, live music from the Grammy-winning banjo player Alison Brown. And on Monday, Call Me Influential. Our series Music by the Book continues with a look at the enduring influence of Moby Dick in the world of music. That's Monday on Soundcheck.